All of the government programs that we don't like are funded by theft. All of the government programs that we do like... Oh, sorry, there aren't any. Government is the reason that healthcare is expensive. Government is the reason you can't go to college. Taxation is theft.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Taxation is Theft, the show that talks about all the ways the government is ripping you off and what you can do to stop them. Broadcasting live on Facebook and YouTube from an underground bunker deep within the jungles of Mexico, I'm Dan Taxation is Theft Berman, former candidate for President of the United States. I bet you're wishing you had me right now. And currently in the race for governor of Texas. And today I have Thomas Queter. We're going to talk about weed. We're going to talk a lot about weed. Who likes weed? Thomas is a disabilities advocate and has been a medical cannabis patient for 26 years. 26 years of smoking weed, and he's smarter than just about everyone in Congress combined. He's going to talk to us about the dangers of cannabis. I'm sorry. He's going to talk to us about the dangers of government regulating cannabis. That's going to get real interesting real fast. But before we get started, if you're watching the live stream, don't forget to like and share and comment and ask your questions and spark up your weed and smoke with us. Because tonight's episode is brought to you by the Nug of Knowledge, indoor-grown, chemical-free, smokable hemp flower and Delta 8 vape cartridges, legal in all 50 states. Get elevated at nugofknowledge.com. And Thomas is actually a brand ambassador. He's going to be talking to us about that in a little bit. And before we get started with the show, there's something interesting going on with the stock market. So instead of reading out the Bitcoin reading, GameStop is at $319.85. Go get your GameStop stonks. All right. Oh, I didn't unmute you yet. What did you say?
I said don't sell them your games.
Yeah, don't sell them your games. Buy their stock. This is a corporate takeover. This is the revolution. And now on to the show. Thomas, is taxation theft?
Is air breathable? Taxation is absolutely theft. It takes out too much, and it doesn't give a return to the communities it takes it from. It's like being forced to make a bad investment on repeat.
It is. You're forced to pay for things that, yes, they will do for you, but they're going to do a really shitty job. You're not going to get your money's worth.
It's always a question of value.
Value. If the government was a stonk, it would be crashing right now.
Well,
so,
isn't it?
No, because they print the money. So the money is there. Yeah, I guess. Their stock is crashing, and that's why all the other stocks have been going up so well, because the dollar is crashing. We just don't see that market in that direction.
So, speaking of cannabis, I'm smoking CBD hemp flower right now that I got from Nug of Knowledge. And actually, I got it from their compassionate care program called Nugs and Hugs, where if you have a disability or a need and you sign up, there's revenue generated from sales. And I believe it's coming out with donations to be accepted to help those who cannot afford their medical cannabis.
That's how it works. And this is, I feel like we let the air out of this conversation by talking about it before we started the show. So we're going to have to rewind and get back into, we're going to have to repeat our rehearsal. We're going to have to repeat our conversation, which is probably going to be easy for you because you're getting baked right now.
It's CBD hemp, so it doesn't really get me baked, but it makes me nice and relaxed. It's good for my inflammation. It's good for anxiety. And it's definitely good for sleep. Yeah. I like to infuse food with my hemp.
Oh, look at that. That looks delicious.
It is. It's grain-free. It's delicious. It's mostly organic ingredients. It's a brownie. And it's made with CBD hemp infused coconut oil. Don't believe the FDA. Coconut oil is actually good for you. It will not give you a heart attack, despite what the FDA says. And when I eat one of these, I get 7 to 9 hours of solid sleep, and I usually don't. I wake up feeling bright and bushy-tailed in the morning. All my inflammation is gone, which is a big problem for me. And zero anxiety.
So you use this for sleeping? You got a problem sleeping?
I've always had a problem sleeping. I grew up a farm kid.
Are you eating the brownie right now? Holy shit,
it's
man.
It's good.
See, I can't have those kinds of edibles around me because I'm a fucking pig. I'll just eat the whole damn thing, and I'll probably be too stoned to go back to work for like a month.
I couldn't resist. They're good. So, you know, there's a lot of ins and outs to consuming cannabis. I got crumbs in my beard.
That's one of them.
For me, I prefer edibles because you get more out of it and you get a longer lasting effect. And despite the fact that I am rolling and smoking CBD hemp, I actually prefer to use a dry herb vaporizer. If I have dry herb, that's what I'm using. I like a decent vaporizer that gives me temperature control. And this is an interesting technicality about using a dry herb vaporizer. What that does is it heats up air that you draw across it when you take your hit. If you control the temperature, most terpenes come off below 310 degrees. THC comes off around 315 degrees. So if you're just looking for specific terpenes to improve your inflammation issues, you can do that without the THC. If you're looking for the THC, obviously you want to go to about 320, 325. And then again, CBD comes off at around 356 degrees. So you can actually take the same bud, if it's marijuana or cannabis with THC, and get your THC in the morning and get your CBD at night. You can from the same bud. I think that's pretty cool. But it's also cleaner when you combust it, when you smoke it with flame. You do create some nasties like creosote. I think most people would agree that creosote is probably not something you want in your lungs.
What is that? Is that
creosote?
I mean,
creosote is a natural solvent. They used to make it by burning wood and smear it on railroad ties to keep them from rotting.
So it's basically ash.
No, it's a liquid chemical compound. I'm not very familiar with it, but it's a solvent. You can dissolve things in it.
Interesting. This is one of the reasons I always love having Thomas on. He's a brilliant mad scientist. I could totally see him when shit hits the fan. He will be your go-to supplier for all things that need a chemistry lab to make.
If I can do it in my kitchen.
Yeah. This stuff always blows my mind. There really is, like, For stoners getting a bad rap about being, like, you know, dumb and, you know, whatever, they are pretty brilliant. I mean, like, the whole, I mean, yeah, you know, you can make a bong out of an apple and you know, whatever. But, like, there's really a lot of science that goes into this, and it's always really fascinating. And here's an interesting one too. When I had Dr. Mary Ruitt on the show, I was asking her about the coronavirus. And one of the things that she said is, we know that the coronavirus can't survive past temperatures of, I don't remember what it was now, like 100 and something degrees, like 110 degrees or something like that. And so she said smoking is actually a very real treatment, not a cure, but it would
reduce your viral load.
Exactly. It would kill the stuff that's actually in your throat, because I guess you get some that's like on the surface of your throat, some that's in your bloodstream, you know, it's all over the place. But the stuff that's actually next to the air that's going to run by your lungs or run by your throat, your trachea, at you know, 110 degrees or higher is going to kill some of the virus. So the rest of your body can spend its energy killing the rest of them.
You know what else would do that? Dry herb vaping.
Right. Because, well, which is what you were just talking about, which is at what temperature is the, because you mentioned a couple temperatures, right? Because if you want different terpenes,
you're going to. Yeah. Terpenes come off usually below 310. Most of them, some of them are higher. But THC comes off at 315. CBD comes off at around 356. And there are other compounds you can go as high as like 415 degrees.
So somewhere between 3 and 400.
Yeah.
More or less.
Sounds like enough to kill a virus.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's all really, really fascinating. So, yes, if you have the coronavirus, you should smoke weed. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I mean, what do you think? Because doesn't cannabis help with your immune system? Did I read that somewhere? Am I making shit up?
I'm not the most educated on what it does for your immune system, but I know an awful lot of cancer patients going through chemo use it quite frequently and have much better results with whether or not they get infections. My aunt is one of them.
Marijuana and the immune system, a complex relationship. I feel like this needs like a black and white spinning globe with like little radio antenna thing. Like, whether it's the common cold or stomach flu, coping with infections can leave you hanging by a thread. Immunity crashes and can sometimes last days, leave lasting consequences. However, there are those who would argue that when smoking marijuana, immune system functions simply flourish. Interesting. That was just the first article that came up. I don't know if this is like...
Well, you ever get sick and not want to eat?
Mm-hmm.
You ever smoke weed and never not want to eat?
Yes, actually.
Really?
But I'm a weird person. I actually did that on purpose. So, okay. Because I used to like go to my friend's house. This was like after high school when I was like smoking weed every single day. I would go to my friend's house. We'd just get like baked and stare at the ceiling. And like, you know, we had like all the black light posters and all that crazy shit. And like at 3 a.m, we'd all go out to Jack and the Crack and we'd get two tacos for $1. And we'd get like, you know, $100 worth. And we just totally pig out. And like in the morning, I felt like shit. Because I was like, you know, full of all kinds of junk food and grease and everything. And so at some... And I think I had experimented with self-hypnosis at one point. So like when I was getting really stoned and I had that like, you know, you get into that like inner reflection type thing. I think I was thinking about that and I was thinking... Can I train myself to not be hungry when I'm stoned?
You can.
And yeah, and that's exactly what I did.
Some people use it to lose weight.
Interesting. I just did it so I would wake up not feeling like I had 50 pounds of disgusting greasy tacos in my stomach. Not that there's anything wrong with greasy tacos. Let me get that out of the way.
I have to disagree. I mean, I actually want to run on the assumption that you gave yourself PTSD from bad fast food.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. There's a difference between fast food greasy tacos and greasy street tacos, let's say. Tacos are a natural grease. It's not so much grease. It's just a little bit of grease. Natural grease. Natural liquefied fat. Right?
Yeah, I mean, there's different takes on that. You know me, I eat pretty well, and I eat as naturally sourced, locally sourced as I can. So I do tend to be a bit of a food snob. You know, I'm always telling people, read those ingredients on the back of whatever it is you bought and you're going to eat. And if you don't know what any of them are, don't put it inside you. I mean, treat it like your sex life. If you don't know what it is, don't put it inside you.
What was that? There's a name for this thing. I want to find out what it's called before. Here we go. There you go. It's called oh, they're not gonna put the name here. Ah, here it is. Castoreum. Have you heard of Castoreum?
Is that like castor oil?
I suppose that's what does castor oil mean? Like, what's the etymology of that?
I have no idea. It just sounded the same.
I'm sure it's the same root. Hang on, guys. This is gonna get interesting.
Oh, now we're getting off on a tangent here.
Okay. Oh no, interesting. Okay, so castor, is late 14th century beaver from the old French 13th century.
Oh yes, the natural flavors.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, natural flavors.
Whenever you see natural flavors listed on your ingredients, it could likely be the juice of a beaver's behind.
Castoreum. That's what that is. Strawberry. It's strawberry flavored. Let me see. Okay.
I believe they can also do vanilla and raspberry. It's a multi-purpose beaver.
Yes. Bun. Yes. I want to see. Can I find a list of products with castoreum?
Most of your candy.
The first article that comes up is castoreum health benefits.
But would you eat it if you knew what it was? I mean, I'm not against people eating the juice of a beaver's behind, because it's obviously much more natural than a lot of the other things we get.
Right.
But
just don't let it go to waste, right?
Don't you think we should know?
Yeah. I mean, okay, here we go.
I mean, would you really want to unwittingly end up sucking on a beaver's behind? Is that something you want to do unknowingly?
Alcoholic beverages, baked goods. This is just kind of general. I was looking for like a list of brand names. Oh, here. It says food manufacturers will not divulge this information if you contact them.
Yep.
So that's interesting. So,
because you might not eat Skittles if you knew they had the juice of the beaver's behind.
But usually what they do is they say, you know, like, you know, yellow dye number 7 or something like that. And like,
well, in this case, it's just natural flavors.
Ah, so that's kind of a catch-all that includes
it's intentionally misleading, because a lot of people will assume it's raspberry flavor. It says natural flavors. It must be extracting the flavor from raspberries.
Right.
But it's not.
Right. Because if that was the case, they would put natural raspberry extract or something.
Correct.
Okay, so here we go. I'm just gonna go down the list real quick. Alcoholic beverages, baked goods, gelatins, pudding, soft candy, frozen dairy, like ice cream, non-alcoholic beverages. Oh, well, alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages. Hard candy and chewing gum. And this actually has the parts per million of it, which goes anywhere from 20 to 80 parts per million, which is, I don't know what. But yeah, to your point, like, it's not like, I mean, I'm sure, you know, people eat all kinds of shit. I mean, when you're eating shrimp, no. What animal do you eat whole? I mean, you almost eat a shrimp whole. Like, are you eating shrimp anus? There's tripe. Okay, people eat tripe. That's intestine.
I thought that was stomach lining.
You're right.
Usually.
But they do... Oh, okay. They package the sausages in intestine. So, yeah, there's correct. Like... Yeah, so there's all kinds of... You know...
I've made my own sausage links with intestines.
It's just you don't want to be at, you know, the ice cream shop, but you're at Cold Stone's and say, yeah, can you make me a swirl with vanilla and the beaver anus flavor? Like, that's what you don't want, I guess.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's not very transparent. But that's just an example, right?
I mean, right.
Do you know what BHA
how
is?
How did we get on this subject? No, what is BHA?
I don't know what it is either, but it's in a lot of things.
Oh.
I believe it was on some pepper in some pepperoni I ate the other day. But do you know what doesn't doesn't have BHA or beaver butt juice?
What?
Fresh raw cannabis.
Ah, that is absolutely true. I was gonna say, like, after you're giving me a lecture on how you shouldn't eat things if you don't know what they are, you're like, do you know what DHA is? I don't either, but I had some last night.
right? No, it's a food preservative. I try to avoid
fucking hypocrite.
I try to avoid it, but you know, cannabis and pepperoni.
Yeah.
So
the dangers, the true dangers of smoking cannabis.
So I'm pretty far away from using THC very much anymore, and that's because I'm able to be more active, and there's more things I want to do. And let's face it, THC does, depending, tend to slow you down, make you a little fuzzy. Mm-hmm. Not for everybody though. And strains matter. There's many different strains of marijuana. Durban Poison will make you zoom around your tasks like nothing else. That's a strain.
Yeah.
It's a sativa, and it's very pop, and it can help you focus and get more done.
I think that's one of the things I like about the Nug is it's not heavy on the THC, so which is the reason it's legal in all 50 states. But it's something like if you did want to use cannabis to, you know, get your focus better, because some people like it for the focus, some people like it as a painkiller. Use the CBD, use the hemp flower, and it gets the job done. But it doesn't kind of get you thinking slow like weed does sometimes. So you don't, you know, it's, and I don't want to recommend you use it at work. Unless, I mean, you know, at your own discretion, but I think it's easier to take it and go to work and be able to function than it is with, you know, the straight up OG Kush.
Well, and that's why I like the edible part. You have it as a dessert before bed, and you wake up the next day, your head's clear, you've slept well, your inflammation is gone. And CBD in particular is very important to me. My condition causes brittle bones. I've had a lot of fractures, and in severe cases like my own, there's something called a micro fracture. It's a very, very small fracture you don't likely notice. And they can become severe fractures, and they can cause more ache and more long-term pain that kind of builds up on you and makes you miserable. CBD was shown in a study out of Israel to increase the healing rate and the strength of healed bone. So, of course, I want to have my CBD every day. So, I also have...
Say that again. That's gonna increase this. Does that increase the strength of all the bone or just the part that's been damaged and repairing?
Okay, so the study that I saw only focused on repair.
Ah, but it doesn't rule out the others.
It doesn't rule it out, but it only focused on the fracture site itself. Right. Of course, in my case, that is my entire bone.
Because
everything's been broken all over. I would be interested to see if it does increase the strength of actual non-broken bone or maybe even old fracture sites. You know, CBD is excellent for inflammation. If you've broken a bone and it was 10 years ago and a thunderstorm comes through, then you know what I'm talking about because you feel that. Arthritic patients.
Is that why my foot feels funny? I had like some hairline fractures in my foot like when I was 10 or something. And sometimes my foot feels kind of funny now that you mention it. Like walking on it, it feels like weird. Like, yeah, you think that's because of the weather?
Either that or you need to lose some weight. I'm not sure.
Thanks, asshole.
It's a real thing. I met a guy, actually, I met him at a gun show a couple of years ago up in Syracuse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his hands were just like curled right up. And the knuckles and joints were, you know, expanded out. And so I had a conversation with him. Turns out he had rheumatoid arthritis since birth.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, so we of course, get talking, and I'm a disability advocate, so I'm, you know, trying to tease out some information, see how he's doing, see if anything, you know, see if he needs anything. But as it turns out, he had become a severe opiate addict, prescription. painkillers, OxyContin, fentanyl, the whole nine yards. He got off of everything using cannabis on his own, by his own volition.
Wow.
Think about that. I mean, that's some heavy stuff he was taking.
Well, and was that all for the arthritis, or was that like
full body pain? Yeah.
Was it like one was for the arthritis, but that caused like a side effect, so he had to take another one, and you know, that kind of thing?
No, they just stack opiates.
Oh.
But at least they used
this one. This one's for the pain, and this one's for the pain in case the first one doesn't work.
Correct. Well, you do get used to different opiates, so they have you switch up a lot. You might go back and forth. There's another thing about opiates that people don't realize is that the withdrawal from opiates, even prescription opiates, causes pain. I know a gentleman who's older than me, probably my parents' age. He was in a motorcycle accident, and he damaged his forearm pretty good. And so they've had him on painkillers since the 80s. If his prescription runs out, he's on the couch and can't move. He's writhing in full body pain for having treated something in his forearm for so long and having upped his opiate use for so long.
What exactly causes that? Because the opiate basically, the opiate blocks the pain signal from getting to your brain. So if you drop the, is it basically like in doing so, your brain loses a tolerance for the pain, and so when the opiate goes away, the pain signal starts getting through that was already there, but you have no tolerance, and you have to build that up again. Is that what's going on there?
I believe what you would qualify this under is a physical addiction. Whenever you're physically addicted to something, you have symptoms when you don't have it.
Mm.
You also see this with alcohol. You know what doesn't have physical addiction symptoms?
Don't say cannabis.
Cannabis.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Grows everywhere, people. They call it weed for a reason. So, you know, here in New York, the governor's talking about legalizing recreational marijuana. Recreational cannabis. He's also talking about taxing it based on its potency.
That's now, disgusting.
It is. I'm sorry, but it is. And medical cannabis, there's been a program for that here for a few years now. Problem is, you have to get and maintain a medical card, which requires going through pain management. The same pain management facilities where you would get your OxyContin back in the day, or your fentanyl. And there's a cost to this process. Right. I mean, one, you're paying out of pocket for the card, which I believe the price on that has gone down significantly. When they first started, it was like $700 a year to maintain your medical card. Wow. Now it's much less. But, you know, you have to go to that pain management doctor. I mean, that's not a burden on the healthcare system. Not at all. That's not inflated in price by the government. Right.
Yeah, they're not listening. You can say bad things about them. I promise you, they're not
listening. Oh, they're always listening. I'm sure.
No, this is only going to YouTube and Facebook. I can assure you, they're not listening.
Sponsored by the NSA. Welcome to the New World Order.
because we listen.
Right.
That should be their tagline.
Right. So now picture this. You've got a severe disability. You're living on a fixed low income. You have to pay, let's call it $70 for the year, right? But that's roughly 1/10 of a month of your income. Mm-hmm. For your card. You have gas money and finagling a trip to the pain management doctor. That's going to put a burden on the taxpayer that's funding the healthcare system, because even if you have private insurance these days, it's subsidized. What are subsidies, Dan?
Tax. Theft?
They're taxes. Subsidies.
I hate that I'm interrupting you so much and then wasting so much time explaining why I'm interrupting, but you said something interesting. Paying for gas to go, and I think that kind of goes right over a lot of people's heads because they're like, hey, gas, what? So what? I want to point out, because you're an interesting person, because you're one of the few people I know who are really, really far out there. You don't live anywhere near civilization.
Right. I was getting to that. For me, oh, and a lot of people in rural areas, much of upstate New York, by the way, that's everywhere outside of places like Broome County and New York City. It's an hour travel to one of these facilities that's permitted to sell medical marijuana. Think about that. I mean, it's an hour's travel both ways.
That's gas. That's time you got to take off of work.
And 2 hours. Try doing it with broken femurs on New York roads. That's not exactly pleasant.
Oh.
Yeah.
Imagine if your neighbor was allowed to sell it to you. Imagine if you were able to grow it in your backyard.
Exactly. Maine has a pretty good medical program, by the way. If you're a patient, you're allowed home grow. They allow caregivers to grow more for multiple patients. And you're allowed to share. There are entire communities of people with disabilities or who have cancer who all grow. And if somebody's crop fails, doesn't do very well, somebody helps them out. It almost sounds like sharing is caring.
Imagine that.
So,
and without a gun to their head from the government.
Right. So back to New York's situation here, you know, as I was saying, you know, you have to maintain the card. You have to have that appointment. You have to, in my case, go an hour each way. And then you have to pay for this stuff, which is taxed and regulated to the point where it's expensive. And let alone if your condition means you have to be a heavy user, there's no way you're going to afford that if you're living on disability income. Or even if you're just poor and hardworking.
And this is something I was saying earlier, right? You have like, okay, you have all these government programs, all this bullshit. Okay, they're going to create a new tax on something that they know people are using for medicine. You would think if they really cared about anybody, they would make an exemption so that medicine is not taxed. And in California, actually, what they do is if you have your medical card, you don't have to pay. Well, okay, when you go to a dispensary in California, there's like three or four different sales taxes. And if you have a medical card, I think you only have to pay one of them. I could be wrong about that. But it's like you don't have to pay all of them. But, you know, back to the same point, you still have to pay for the card. You still have to pay to see the doctor. You still have to do all this and that. And it's like, if you don't have
travel.
Yeah, if you don't have a lot of money or time, then, you know, either you're going to go without the medication or, I don't know, something's going to give.
I'm going to bring something else up here. You know, I'm 37. I still look like a young guy. It's harder for people to understand that travel can be hazardous and painful for me. What if it's your 93-year-old grandmother who's in the hospice? Mm-hmm. She's got to go to the dispensary?
Because nobody can go for her.
Right. Now,
what happened to the good old days? Here's a note. Take it to the pharmacy. Go pick up my OxyContin.
So you might know this, Dan. How long has cannabis been illegal?
Close to coming up on 80 years, something like that. Is it the 30s?
Now, how long have we lacked access to cannabis?
We lacked, I mean, since then. Well, no.
We really lack access? Come on.
Are you talking about with black markets? Oh, never.
I mean, like, was there ever a point in your life where you couldn't just go find it?
Yeah, I mean, my dealer was out every once in a while. But yeah, no, I get your point. Like, it was never gone. There's always the black market.
Hey, come on, Dan. There's always another dealer up the road.
Right.
I
wasn't very popular.
Well, you know. You know, I was 10 years old when my orthopedic surgeon pulled me aside. You know, parents are out of the room. You know, he knows I've got a problem with painkillers because I was prescribed an overdose when I was 8, and it kind of messed me up at that time. You know, he goes, try marijuana. It was 1993. Doctor recommended.
Wow. Patient approved.
Yeah. So by 2 years later, I was trying marijuana. I was trying cannabis. It works. My personal experience with opiates is they make me itchy and fidgety. Is that what you want when all of your limbs are broken? Do you want to sit there and move when your bones are broken? Probably not, right? Cannabis made me relax and feel calm, help with the pain.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Get your weed on the black market. You heard it here. Not legal advice.
Actually, I'm going to disagree with that. You know, that's the other point here. When we tax, we regulate, we're not going to get rid of the black market. It's still going to be there, or it's going to be what we now call maybe a gray market, right? Mm-hmm. The problem with that is there's money in it, right? I mean, there's a lot of money in it because people are still going to have that high demand, and it's not going to be as available as it seems like it should be through any kind of legal means. And, you know, some people are going to grow it improperly. They're going to use chemicals. They're going to use pesticides. They're not going to take care of it. And the demand's going to be there, and people will still, you know, purchase and use it. And there are potentially ill effects, or at least not getting what you should get out of it.
Do you think that's really...
It's not that case? Big of a deal, but it's kind of a big deal.
Because it's been my understanding, and this could be totally unfounded, it's been my understanding that the black market dealers were kind of cleaner than some of the big, because now it's turning into like this big agricultural farming thing. They have like, you know, they're going to use automation and machines. It's all outdoors. They're using pesticides. Whereas with the other stuff, they were always trying to hide it. And so maybe they weren't doing it out in the fields, or they weren't buying lots of chemicals to spray on it or something like that. I don't know.
Yes and no. So if you're allowed to do it yourself, you get to choose.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
If you're doing it for a family member who's ill, right? I mean, you're going to do it in as healthy a way as possible. You know, big corporations and big drug dealers are not that unlike. Their number one goal is profits. And I'm not against making a profit, but you see more ethical profits on a local economy. Because everybody knows who you are, right? The CEO of a big farming operation is not in the small communities, and you know, everybody potentially injured or damaged by his overuse of pesticides, say, they're not going to walk up to him and say, hey, you did this to me. But if you have a local small cannabis economy, everybody knows who you are. Everybody knows where it came from. And if it's an inferior or otherwise unhealthy product, they know who to complain to.
Or stop buying from.
Right. You know, businesses will rise and fall on their quality. I would almost argue that we should make sure that it's not monopolized. I mean, government forced monopolies haven't worked for us so far.
Yeah, that's you know, something I was thinking about, because I was giving this talk the other day about, we're talking about COVID, and you know, basically everyone's gonna die. If you're listening to this show right now, you're gonna die. Maybe
I'm
not
almost
today.
Disgusted that you brought up COVID. It's just been such a topic for so long. It's been beaten to death. I mean, you just killed your ratings, Dan.
I know. Yeah, no, I probably just got banned on YouTube by saying it. But my point was this, right? Like, if you're listening to the show, you're gonna die, and it might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, it might not be next week or next year. But you're gonna die. That's an absolute fact, right? And I was thinking, in the exact same way, government is going to collapse. Like, I know everyone's gonna die, because there has never been a single person in the history of the universe who has lived forever, and there never will be.
Pretty much everything that lives dies.
And there has never been a government that has lived forever either. And yes, the current government that we have has outlived most of the people who are alive today, or has lived longer, but it's going to die eventually. Always does. No government has lasted forever.
And the faster they seem to ramp up their force on their citizens, the faster they seem to fall off.
That's like you know what that is? Like when somebody's dying and they start getting like all these complications. Oh, now they have pneumonia. Oh, now they have high blood pressure. Oh, now there's this. Now there's that. Oh, they have an infection. And like all this stuff starts like just like because they start, you know, I don't know what happens. Your immune system starts going down. All these problems start compounding on your way out. That's exactly what government is doing when they start ramping up all these programs. Oh my God, we got poverty. We got to fix that. Oh my God, we got this. We got this. We got that. And they start piling up all these programs until the whole thing just fucking collapses on itself.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's not very natural, is it?
No.
So, you know, there are other benefits to cannabis. I have a friend who's a diabetic, and I'm not a doctor. Point that out. But his doctor told him that when he started using cannabis for his MS, his A1 blood levels for his diabetes improved, and that cannabis is known to improve diabetics.
Hmm.
I know people who use it for their MS. I mean, we've talked about the whole gamut of inflammation, even GI tract, mm-hmm. right? Crohn's disease, things like that.
Yeah, that's what it was. Crohn's. I was just about to say Crohn's. I know somebody who uses it for that.
Yep. Well, I have a lot of inflammation issues in my GI tract for many undiagnosed reasons that I'm not aware of because I stay the hell away from the doctors because all they want to do is give me Oxycontin when I have a sinus infection. And regular consumption of CBD in particular solves my GI issues. I mean, there is no part of the body that it can't help. And there's no part of the mind that it can't help. And it's illegal. Why is it illegal? Well, corporations do what with our government? They lobby.
Yes.
Now, if you've ever known someone with a severe medical condition, or if you've ever been through your own severe medical condition, you know that you could get a prescription that has a side effect, they'll give you a prescription for that has a side effect, that they'll give you a prescription for that has a side effect, that they'll give you, and so on, right? And if you know someone that's really got a lot of issues or a severe issue, you'll see them carrying this duffel bag or lunch bag, you know, it's got all their prescriptions in it. And if you add up the money that those cost to our healthcare system, which is largely in New York now, what we call unfunded mandates. If you could replace that with a plant.
Let's talk about this for a minute because this is the Taxation of Theft show. What is an unfunded mandate?
That is, in fact, the government mandating that something be paid for. In New York's case, it's the state level government mandating that healthcare needs to be paid for, but not providing funding for it in any manner, which passes that burden down to the counties. And then the counties, usually property taxes are what's going up here. During the time of COVID, when I was campaigning, I was running into people who stated that their property taxes were going up as their jobs were going out. Their sales were going down and their property taxes were going up. And a lot of that's over unfunded mandates.
Right. So basically one government telling the other government, just make some more taxes. I'm sure you'll figure it out.
Well, they end up getting to blame each other, right? The counties can blame the state, state can blame the counties, and everybody doesn't know who to blame.
Right. It's kind of like that whole twin party system where the Democrats blame the Republicans blame the Democrats, and they both make off with our money.
Yep. Well, at least we finally have a legitimate Republican in office now, right? I mean,
which office would that be? Are you talking about sloppy Joe Biden?
The White House. Yeah, yeah. I mean, his policies aren't exactly the most democratically favorable yet. He was, are they, he was the cure to the Republican, right?
Are they Republican based though? Yeah. So everybody's talking about Biden. Okay, we're gonna go off topic for a little bit here. I mean, might as well. there's no law or regulation that says we have to talk about cannabis for the whole hour.
I disagree.
But it's my show. I write the rules and regulations. Aha. Your silence is consent. Okay. So, yeah, so everybody's excited that, oh, it is kind of related actually, that Joe Biden signed an executive order saying no new private prison contracts. But,
well, the old ones are still there.
Yeah. Like, to me, all that sounds like is the private prison industry will now have a monopoly. There will be no new businesses, which, I mean, okay, yeah, it's kind of a good thing. No new private prisons are going to pop up. But at the same time, there's going to be a monopoly on them, which means they're going to be able to demand higher prices, which means they're going to be able to demand higher taxes and probably more prisoners
and lower quality prisons.
Yeah.
You think maybe this would go the way of the roads?
Yeah.
In New York, that's funny because our roads are not that great.
Yeah, it's no, it's, I mean, think about it. If there's a monopoly on that, the state has to pay for the prisons. If the prisons are not providing, you know, whatever types of human rights requirements to the prisoners, and the state's like, yeah, we're not going to send our prisoners there anymore, then the prisons are going to be like, oh, well, where are you going to send them? There's no other place now. You can't start a new one.
Well, I mean, it's already a fact that the contracts that we have with these private prisons stipulate that we have to keep enough prisoners in there.
Right.
If it goes too low, we pay more.
Right. Yeah, so this is like, I think this is just like, you know, a song and dance, but it's all bullshit at the end of the day. It's not going to make a huge difference.
It's not going to make any difference.
Now, if he would have signed an executive order declaring that cannabis is not a drug or descheduling it from the FDA, from the DEA schedule,
happens, Dan. You know how it goes. I mean, first, you know, it's meth and it's heroin and then, you know, the last thing you know, you're smoking cannabis and dancing.
Yeah.
Because that's the worst thing, right?
Somebody needs to hotbox the White House. We need to bring that back.
Right? Well, George Washington grew his own cannabis. JFK used it for his medical problems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
see, what's interesting is like, okay, so they were all talking about hemp. The Constitution was rolled on hemp paper. There's like all this talk about hemp. They never used the word cannabis, but they didn't really have testing back then.
Right.
Like as of right now, and this is only recent, right? This is only since the 2017 Farmers Bill, Farm Bill, whatever, agriculture bill, where hemp is considered anything with THC under 0.03% and cannabis is considered anything over.
That's very sciencey. I'm sure they've got a genetic analysis to prove that.
Maybe. But that just doesn't seem... I
no,
mean, that's not something...
I can actually talk to that. Okay. So, I know some people who run their own hemp store and grow their own hemp and sell their own CBD products. And they know other people who grow it for that. And they were telling me that an awful lot of the people they knew, their crop tested just barely over that regulation. And you know what the government made them do?
Burn it.
Yep. So can we turn it into textiles? No.
I'll burn it right
no.
here.
Can we do biodiesel with it? No. You have to destroy it. Your entire investment is gone. The government comes in and says, you're a drug dealer. You better destroy it. But what in the hell? At least repurpose it. And that's a problem in New York, too, because we never got the industry for making other products from hemp, right? I mean, the plant is a very diverse thing. I mean, you have the buds, which is what you want, right? The flower, and you have the stalks. you can pull the flowers up, use the stalks for something else, or you can grow
different herbs. Plastic, oil, paper.
Cattle feed.
Everything. So much.
Right. So
protein.
They actually blocked a lot of the developments for processing the rest of the stuff. I mean, you can make building materials out of it now. You can make plastic from it.
Which, by the way, I was reading an article about this. There is a sand shortage, which means there's going to be issues with construction materials, including concrete and bricks.
Sounds like we should start making hemp-based concrete and bricks.
Mm-hmm.
Which we do. I mean, or we can do.
Yep. And not only that, it's a better, like, if you built your house out of hempcrete, it's supposed to actually, because it's still organic, it's supposed to improve the quality of the air in your casa that improves as you're sitting there living there.
I believe it's also got more insulation effects, so it lowers your heat and cool bill. The only other option, I mean, obviously, is to start buying sand from Saudi Arabia. I mean, they're out of oil, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
And what's interesting is, you know, basic economics, once the price of sand goes up to, like, you know, $500 a pound, because we have to import it from overseas and shipping ain't easy. I don't know. They're going to have to be like, you know, that's probably where you're going to get the lobbyists that start putting the pressure on and say, yeah, you know what? We might have to legalize this stuff because we can't afford this sand.
Yeah, and, you know, that's an interesting kind of point in all of this. Our government doesn't really seem too keen on seeking solutions until it's created the problem from which it can profit.
Right. Well, and that's because that's what it takes to get the lobbyists out to actually make it happen, to get that investment capital to spend the money on government to make things change so that they can invest in a new thing.
So nothing ever happened without lobbyists? No human improvement whatsoever through thousands of years without lobbyists?
Nope.
Is that what happened? I mean
yeah, because if government doesn't invent it, who will?
Right? I mean,
yeah.
Geez.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have anxiety, if you have arthritis, if you have GI problems, I highly recommend infusing some coconut oil with some cannabis. CBD hemp in particular is my favorite right now. And try it. It can't hurt you. The most it can do is make you take a nap. You know what can hurt you? Trying a new prescription. Have you seen the prescription drug commercials lately?
The ones that say, like, oh yeah, and by the way, there's a billion side effects.
Yeah, I mean, 3/4 of the commercial is just this mumbling very fast about all the side effects that range from anal leakage to death and your head exploding.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen any of that happen from cannabis.
Nope. There was that one guy who died from cannabis.
Drop it on him?
Yeah, he was unloading. I think it was like 2.5 tons. He was unloading it out of a truck, and it fell on top of him in those, like, big, like, I mean, it was like not like hempcrete bricks, but, like, you know, the big bricks in the bags.
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure some people have been shot by the police over cannabis.
Yeah. Yeah, that can become deadly. Now, if those cops had been smoking cannabis themselves, then they might have been a little less trigger happy.
You know, that's funny, actually. I'm aware of, I'm familiar with, I'm not going to say the name, but a former police officer who ran and won for an assembly seat in New York on an anti-cannabis platform. And I happen to know the people that sell him his weed.
Fucking hypocrites.
Well, I mean, Republicans in New York, right? I mean, they're not very Republican-y. They don't stand up for the principles very much. They shout about it a lot, but you'll see a lot of votes that don't make sense for their principles that they're touting.
Yeah. It's, and I mean, that's the, I mean, well, we got Kamala Harris now.
Oh, great. More people in prison for weed.
Yeah. So apparently, so Black Lives Matter tweeted, I feel like the Democrats lied to us, but apparently that tweet was a lie. That was a fake tweet, but I couldn't verify it because Black Lives Matter blocked me. Can you believe that? So I was trying to verify.
Well, I mean, is it Black Lives Matter or is it Black Lives Matter? Because that's a whole range in itself.
I think it was like the official Marxist Black Lives Matter.
Well, the hell with them, in my opinion. The people who show up because they care about Black Lives, that those are the people out there. But I'm not the biggest fan of Marxism.
Right, but they don't have a Twitter account collectively.
True.
But yeah. Well, and here's the thing. A lot of those people probably don't have their thumb on the pulse enough to know that they got screwed.
Right.
Because they're just taking whatever they take from, you know, the leadership of different groups. So, yeah.
Well, what happened this year was really interesting, right? So I saw this a lot on the campaign. We had a lot of these Black Lives Matters-ish groups, county by county or city by city, doing protests and speaking. The first one was in Binghamton, and that was the most public speaking about constitutional rights from people who were not running for office that I'd ever seen. That was amazing. They actually understood their constitutional rights. And then, you know, in these smaller towns, you know, people showed up. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the core Black Lives Matter group is not Marxist, because it is. It's been shown. But do you know how many people understand that it's Marxist and what Marxism is? It's not the people who were showing up at these rallies. Many. It's not the people who were protesting, right? They're people who were, oh, gee, let's see. They were sequestered to their homes over COVID, right? Don't go out unless it's a protest. They were bored. And, you know, most people care about other people's lives, right? I mean, it's kind of hard to disagree with their slogan, at least. Of course, right. Black lives matter, well, right?
Right,
I mean,
right.
Show me a life that doesn't matter.
Well, and I think that's the whole thing. And I heard somebody say this about Israel, right? That was the greatest piece of propaganda ever, was to create Israel and use the symbol of Judaism on their flag, so that if anyone was to ever criticize Israel, you could just call them an anti-Semite and that would be the end of it. And it's worked out really well. And I think Black Lives Matter, the organization, has done the same thing, because that's not what they stand for, or partially, I don't know, there's some overlap. I don't want to say they don't stand against it, but they use that, so, and that's turned into like this war. So if you won't say Black Lives Matter, or if you say All Lives Matter, and I totally get it too, because there are plenty of assholes who refuse to say it because they're just like, no, the police are more important than Black people.
Right. So I can speak to this two ways, right? I mean, so when I went to these rallies, these protests, right, the people who showed up are just people who believe that Black people's lives matter. They're not core Marxists. They're not looking to overthrow the country. And then there's the All Lives Matter people, and when they show up at these, you know, they're not well-loved because it kind of feels like they're stealing the thunder of the message. So the people who show up and who are there because they care about the lives of Black people, right? But on the same token, the people who are saying All Lives Matter aren't trying to say that anybody's life matters any less or more than others. They're just confused. They don't understand why the message of Black Lives Matter. They don't understand the statistics for resisting arrest charges, right? The bulk of those are African Americans, Black people. the systemic racism in our welfare systems, right? I mean, housing and welfare alone keeps, it's kind of designed to keep poor people poor. And, you know, we have more percentage-wise Black people who are poor, right? So to me, I see the whole thing as classist, but you have to have some emotional intelligence when you approach these situations. You have to understand why people are saying Black Lives Matter.
Right.
And you have to similarly understand why people are saying All Lives Matter.
I'm trying to figure this out right now. So the Marxist organizers founded their organizations in 2015. And I'm trying to figure out when was the first Black Lives Matter? Because I was even thinking, you know, was this a hijacked movement? Was this something where like, oh, that's getting popular. Let's take that, let's corporatize it and turn it into something. Because I mean, that's what it is. I mean, you've got
the lockdowns created the opportunity. Nowhere near as many people would have showed up to these things if they had to go to a job.
Right, but I think there's always like there are opportunists always looking for that opening to make something like that happen. Like they're always looking for the next fight.
The next war on drugs. Wait, what?
The next. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because that's what these things are. These are divisive issues that get really popular, and then somebody wants to be, oh, I created that. I'm the head of this movement, and all you have to do is like form an organization and be like, yes, we are the official version of this.
Yeah.
And then you have like, you know, you get the .com and it's like, oh, that's where everybody goes to buy their t-shirts and everything. And all of a sudden you become the, you know, the number one fundraiser. Cause I mean, that's the thing. Anyone can make a Black Lives Matter shirt and sell it. Right. But I mean, once you have one person with a particular logo that gets really popular and everybody's, you know, if anyone starts to copy that logo, then it's like, ooh, that's bootleg. We can sue you. And I'm sure there's some of that shit going on.
You know, it does.
Come on, does dude. Put your phone on silent.
I still haven't figured out how. It does turn into a money funnel too, when you don't know the true aims of the core organization. Who's handling the money, and what are they doing with it? And you know, we were discussing just a minute ago. You know, this does turn us on our neighbors, right? Neighbor Day thinks, you know, all lives matter, and I think Black Lives Matter, and we're gonna have this argument, and then, you know, we're not gonna like each other anymore, but we're still gonna live next to each other. We create so much psychological desperation within our communities and pit people against each other. It's the same two-party diatribe. I mean, one friend of mine told me that their Republican friend told them that Democrats are evil and want to ruin the country and yada yada. I mean, it's insane.
Yep.
What are you looking at? You look very interested.
I'm kind of following this GameStop thing.
I was going to assume it was porn.
I think it's very crashing. Intense. I think it's crashing.
Is it?
And so a friend just sent me a message, because he's been following this thing for like weeks. Like before it started blowing up, he was following it when it was still like $20 or $40 or something. And he's like all over Reddit and everything else. And he sent me a message. Now they locked Reddit. So the Reddit channel where this whole thing started is now a private Reddit by invite only. So if you don't have an invite, you're not following the updates. And right after that, the price started falling. So it just fell. When we started the show, it was, what did I say? 315, something like that, 330. And it's already down to 230 right now. So it fell about 30%. And this is,
so somebody had a plan.
Yeah. And this is after hours trading. So, is it going back up? 240. I know. You can stare at this shit all day and it'll just bounce all over the place. But it's got
not some heavy... good for your OCD, folks.
Right. It's got some heavy downward momentum right now. So it is really interesting to see what's going to happen with this.
Half your viewership just left to go sell their stuff.
Hold on. Oh shit, you're right. Yeah, so this is really interesting to follow. There was a hedge fund that lost like $13 billion to cover its shorts on this stock. So this is actually a really interesting revolution that's going on right here. And I will call it a revolution because this is something that I mentioned before. Like, there are a lot of people who are pissed off about how Amazon and Walmart treat their employees. But all of those employees have the ability, all those employees and all of the Fight for 15 people and everybody else have the ability to buy all the stock and just vote out the CEO. But instead, they want the free stock and the free vote, which is the United States, and they want to send in by force a change of leadership or a change of rules within those organizations, which is it's going to work. It has worked in the past. That's why they're doing it.
Another government monopoly, though, Walmart.
Yeah.
I mean, don't a majority of their workers utilize welfare systems? Isn't their health care still Medicaid and Medicare and the like? Don't they keep them in low hours for a reason?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, because if you work less than some number of hours, then they don't have to give you certain coverage. Yeah, and there was actually like somebody explained this to me once about how Walmart works, because so they pay their employees less and they give them fewer hours, so they fall into that classification, and then they offer them they accept all the subsidy cards that the government gives these people. So now so they're not making enough money from Walmart, so the government gives them their WIC card or whatever, and then they take the SNAP, and then they take that back to Walmart to buy their groceries. And so now Walmart is actually getting their money back from their employees that the government is giving to the employees, because Walmart's not giving them enough money.
And it's all on the backs of the taxpayer.
Right. Which is interesting, because if you took the taxes out of their paycheck, or excuse me, if you didn't take the taxes out of their paycheck, they'd probably have that extra money that they're getting back on the SNAP cards.
Pretty close.
And especially if you eliminated the property tax, their cost of living would go down and they'd have a lot more... I don't want to call it disposable mandates. Income. What's that?
Unfunded mandates again.
Oh, yeah.
It always comes down to your property taxes.
Back to that. Yeah, and that's. I mean, there's the property taxes. There's the FHA. Yeah, we could talk all night about that. But anyways.
The point is, folks, don't let them tax your weed.
Yeah. That's not cool, man. Don't tax my weed, man.
Well, you know, all right, let me break this down quick. We're all pretty well aware that CBD, THC, terpenes, other compounds in hemp or cannabis, whether it's medical grade with THC or medical grade with just CBD, we're all aware that can treat many illnesses. We're all aware that our healthcare system is extremely expensive, whether it's on the taxpayer's dime or out of pocket or whatsoever. And we're all aware that a plant is easy to grow anywhere. It's basically, we're being forced to not save money and get sicker.
Right.
And, you know, when people want proof that cannabis helps us medicinally, there's 2,000 years of it.
But Dr. Fauci didn't say it, so that doesn't count.
Screw that guy.
I promised I wouldn't talk about Corona, so I won't.
You already have a couple times.
I know, but I was gonna. Yeah, I'm not gonna go. I'm not gonna go down into that rabbit hole. I'll save that for another show. Anyways, speaking of another show, that's our show for the day.
Remember, folks, nugofknowledge.com.
Yes, and you have a promotional code, don't you?
I do. You can get a little bit of savings by using TOMFOR52 as the promo code. Tom for 52, that's the district I ran for state senate. And hopefully I will run again.
Sweet. You hear that, guys? Go get your weed discounted. Diet weed. Discounted diet weed. That's the way to go. So, Thomas, thank you for joining. And
thank you for having me.
For anybody else paying attention, GameStop is down to 280. Oh, so it came up a little bit. If you liked what you heard today, make sure to share the show. Make sure to follow and subscribe. Head to youtube.com/taxationstheft and subscribe. And follow me at Twitter, Dan for Texas, and on Instagram, Dan Berman. There's an H in there. And if you want to hear about my campaign for governor of Texas, go to danforfreedom.com. We're actually going to post some information soon because we have an event coming up. I'm not going to tell you the details yet because we're still working on that. But it should be more or less around February 20th in Austin, Texas, and it's going to be really awesome. I can't wait to tell you guys more about that. So stay tuned for that, and go to danforfreedom.com and get on the mailing list there if you want to stay up to date with that. Of course, follow me on social media.
Don't forget to try your cannabis.
And yeah, and don't forget to go to nugofknowledge.com and get some. I already said that, dude.
Now everybody should try cannabis. You got to say that a lot.
I do. I should.
It's the power of repetition.
And don't pay your taxes.
Right? Put it on repetition. Try cannabis. Try cannabis.
Taxation.
You need a children's choir that just chants. Try cannabis.
Subliminal messages. We're adding subliminal messages to the next episode of this show that say try cannabis and don't pay your taxes. All right, guys. Until next time, have a good night. Taxation is theft. Go buy some Bitcoin.